piece.
Fratelloni's Ace Hardware and Garden Stores brings you Garage Logic Podcast number 158, May 14th, 2019. It was 92 degrees on this day in 2007, meaning if you had Aquaside clear out your beach, the kids were swimming. And in 1953, it was only 29 degrees on this day.
And now, from the mayor's office, above the boathouse, on the east shore of Spoon Lake, it's Garage Logic, with Rookie on production, Chris Reavers, director of social media, John Hyde in the newsroom, and occasionally Kenny from the Krabby Coffee Shop. Here is your flashlight king, fireworks commissioner, and keeper of common sense, your mayor, Joe Souchere.
Yesterday I expressed some incredulity that in all of the obituaries for Doris Day, I never saw any mention of her very popular variety show on TV, John, right?
Yep.
Well, that's because she never had
one. She didn't
have one.
No, that was... Uh-oh.
That was Dinah Shore.
Oh! And that whole time I'm thinking, boy, these two are really old. I'm just going to keep
my
mouth shut.
Well, John, I didn't catch it and you didn't either.
It was, and the Chevy ads were also
See the
Dinah
USA
Shore.
And your Chevrolet, that was...
Dinah Shore. Uh-huh.
That was Dinah Shore. Yep. That wasn't had nothing to do with Doris Day. And I have here at least 6, 7, 8 emails, including one from Bill Stein. Fire up the scan bucket. Here's from Gary Byron. Here's from M.A. The old mayor was a little confused. Watching a variety show through the haze of cigarette smoke in the 50s and hearing Doris Day saying the USA in your Chevrolet was possible, except Doris Day didn't have a 1950s TV show and never sang Seeing the USA. The mayor confused Doris with Dinah, the late Burt Reynolds' much older lover and big star in her own right. Also, Begay is nearly as common a surname in the Navajo Nation as is Smith in the greater USA. Huh. It derives from the Navajo word for his, her son.
Is it possible the cigarette smoke was so thick you couldn't make out who was on the TV?
It looked like Doris Day to me.
See.
You know what? Close enough.
Right.
Garage Logic's own. Oh, just let me pull that chair back closer.
You have a little PT today?
Garage Logic's own geologist, Stacy, reports large rumbler and possible tsunami, a 7.5 in the New Britain region of Papua New Guinea. 7.5 is a big, big quake, and I did note there are tsunami warnings out in that region of our mother, the Earth.
Nowhere to hide.
Gang, where can I get recordings of John and Dylan Height's guitar music? I love the pieces Dylan has submitted to the podcast and would love to have full copies. Richard, the band director turned plumber in Moorhead, Minnesota.
I agree.
Yeah. John, you have to answer that.
Right now, the only place they exist is on Dylan's computer.
Okay. That's of no help
What's
to
your
the
address?
Plumber in Moorhead, is it?
Not really.
DLG writes, I just wanted to say thank you for still being on the air, so to speak. I haven't listened to AM 1500 since the release of Joe and Pat and the format change. For some odd reason, I decided to try to find Garage Logic the other day. I went to the AM 1500 website, and to my wonder, nothing looks the same. I am a veteran in Hot Springs, South Dakota, at the VA Medical Center here, and wanted a little piece of home, and thank goodness for the Google. I found you. Thanks for keeping the crew together, and I just finished the podcast with Patrick. Wonderful memories. I was a listener since 1994 and understand the market has changed. I used to listen all day and into the evening, occasionally would even listen to Tommy Mischke and Don Vogel. So thank you so much for still being around. It makes a difference in my life and in my PTSD treatment.
Oh,
well,
cool.
Good luck, sir.
Fantastic.
Good luck.
Thanks for your
good
service.
Luck.
Thank you. Yes,
good
absolutely.
Luck. Downing. You guys reported that frequent contributor Downing was live on the scene at Grundhoffer's.
Mm-hmm.
Downing,
yeah, David Downing.
I never saw him.
Oh, we all talked to him.
He snubbed you?
I don't know him. I didn't talk.
I chatted with him.
No, he did. He snubbed me.
Yeah, he did.
He probably was talking to us while you were still en route.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's it.
Yeah, he was really chatty before you got there.
Boy, I got a lot. I got a lot of grief from people.
You know,
about
the question
that.
About that, Joe, that occurred to me is you were at Grundhoffer's not 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I had
to
say.
Yeah, it wasn't a new destination.
Usually I look something up on the map once, and then once I've been there, I never have to look at the map again.
Yeah, you can make it there then.
Even follow, like, turn at the tree, turn at the white building.
I can explain. The day I went up there was a Saturday. I had a lot of time. I wasn't in any hurry. So I went up Highway 61 all the way.
That's a legitimate reason.
Right. On the occasion of getting there for the live podcast, I had a lot of work to do here, so I was running a tight clock.
Sure.
And I thought, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go up 35E,
right,
and I'll cut over.
There you go.
And right. I even called my sister, who lives in Hugo, and said, where do I cut over? And she told me, and I apparently ignored her. And
took a stop before the exit.
I got
before.
Past 96, and I'm going north, and I got the feeling in my head that, damn it, I'm damn near to Hinckley. I got to turn here, and figured that anywhere I took a right.
You couldn't wait.
Yeah, right. Bad waiter. Couldn't wait for the exit.
And I can even hop to your defense because you think I can take any right. And
I'm going to be going east.
And I'm
going
to hit 61.
And I got to hit 61. Yeah. Except where I got off funneled me south all the way back to 96. So then I thought, I better stick to what I know. So I went up to 61 and got there.
Please
that way.
Tell me the part where you talked to a jogger and pulled somebody over in a truck. Please tell me you made that up for benefit of the show.
Yeah. I did not make it up.
You actually you pulled over a jogger?
No, she was jogging, and I slowed down to go along with her. And I said, if I stay on this road, am I going to get to Hugo? And she's the one who said, I'm new around here.
And I'm armed.
Right.
And this is my pepper spray.
Right.
Then I went a little while longer, and another gal took a turn to come facing me in her pickup truck, and I stuck my arm out the window and waved her down. And I said, if I stay on this road, am I going to get to Hugo? And she said, Hugo is that way.
Ooh.
And she pointed completely the opposite direction. And I said, well, where in the hell does this go? But she said, if you stay on this, you'll hit Highway 96. I said, thank you. From there, I can take it.
Well, and you know, one of the most underrated things about you is you're the master of the unexpected funny one-liner. Because when you called me and said, I think I'm at a point where I know where I am. It so defines you.
Is that on the map or mentally or
I think I meant
financially?
Metaphysically.
Or when we had the guy come in here.
I finally know where I am.
Where when Steve came in from BTS Auctions and you said, Steve, come on in here. I want to get your name.
I was playing golf with a guy last year. A friend of my brother's. And he apparently lost his golf ball at number 5, and he's wandering around looking for it. And I said, are you lost? Because that's what you say in golf. Yeah, are you lost? Yeah. Meaning is your ball lost? And he said, let me think about it for a minute. frequent contributor Downing writes, on Monday you talked about the Harvard big shots who lost their jobs because of the self-righteous mob. Someone asked, why didn't the other adults at the school come to their defense? And the response was that they were afraid they would then become targets. It reminds me of the words of Martin Niemöller. First they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I am not a socialist.
Right.
Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak. Mm. Let's revisit Harvard. The story Downing's referring to is the dismissal of two Harvard law professors, both of whom are African-American. And the hectoring mob of uninformed, stupid students at Harvard did not like the fact and did not approve of the fact that these attorneys signed on to, as part of Harvey Weinstein's, is it Stein? Harvey Weinstein? Yeah.
Steen?
His defense team.
Weinstein.
And so today, Alan Dershowitz wrote a piece, an opinion piece about that, saying that McCarthyism has come to Harvard, and he's not exaggerating. And he has broken down. See, these kids said they felt unsafe because these attorneys were on their campus. Harvard professor Alan Dershowitz represented 15 accused murderers while on the law school faculty at Harvard. Most notorious among them were O.J. and Klaus von Bülow. All of these defendants were accused of a crime far worse than Harvey Weinstein's. 13 of the 15 defendants were acquitted, including O.J., who most people believe was guilty of double murder. Yet no students during that era said they felt unsafe by Professor Dershowitz's presence on campus. Here is how Dershowitz responded in an editorial to the firing of Dean Sullivan. Feeling unsafe is the new mantra for the new McCarthyism. Any student who feels unsafe in the presence of two distinguished lawyers doesn't belong at a university. They should leave and not force the firing of the professor. The unsafe argument could be made against a dean who is gay, black, Muslim, Jewish, Republican, or libertarian. No credence should be given the argument, especially since the students apparently did not feel unsafe when Sullivan was representing a convicted double murderer, former New England Patriot Aaron Hernandez.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. It's alarming. It's alarming. But Dershowitz has figured it out, and he's cut to the chase. You don't belong in school, which is pushing back. Now, you're not going to get rid of them. They'll end right. up triumphing in being in school. But what credence can be given to the argument that you feel unsafe? Unsafe how?
Right.
There's too many variables.
Unsafe when?
Right.
I think it's just a buzz phrase they trot out.
Yeah, and it's the mantra for the new McCarthyism.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's a totally phony argument that's not deserving of any serious consideration.
Right there.
Dershowitz writes, any student who feels unsafe in the presence of two distinguished lawyers does not belong at a university. They should leave. The unsafe argument could be made against a dean who is gay, black, Muslim, Jewish, Republican, or libertarian. Note he didn't say Democrat. No credence should be given to the argument, especially since the students apparently did not feel unsafe when Sullivan was representing Aaron Hernandez. A second argument is that Sullivan has been absent too often because of his defense of Weinstein. That, too, is phony. If Sullivan was prosecuting instead of defending Weinstein, these same hypocritical students would applaud him, right? Harvard should be ashamed of itself for giving in to irrational, bigoted, unprincipled, and dangerous arguments instead of using Sullivan's representation of Weinstein as an educate. I'm trying to remember what Bill Stein said it's pronounced Stein, right?
E-I-N is Stein.
Stein. Let me start over. Harvard should be ashamed of itself for giving into irrational, bigoted, unprincipled, and dangerous arguments instead of using Sullivan's representation of Weinstein as an educational moment to teach students both the benefit of the Sixth Amendment of the Constitution as well as tolerance for differing views. Tragically, this decision is a symptom. First, it shows a complete lack of leadership by those in charge— the failed academy, and willingness to pander to students no matter how irrational their arguments, the failed academy. It also reflects an unwillingness to accept the presumption of innocence. One colleague of mine put it well when he said that some people regard rape so heinous a crime that even innocence should not be accepted as a defense.
Wow.
The presumption of innocence is real and important. It cannot be invoked selectively only for certain crimes. If you reject it for one, you reject it for all. And this is where he says, feeling unsafe is simply the new mantra for the new McCarthyism. It is a totally phony argument not deserving of any serious consideration. And this is the part I like. Any student who feels unsafe in the presence of two distinguished lawyers does not belong at a university. And now Dershowitz really gets warmed up. Third, the decision reflects a lack of appreciation for due process, indeed any process, when it comes to certain alleged crimes. We cannot know whether a person is guilty or innocent without a fair process. I know because I was accused of a sex crime but was able to prove my total innocence. Disproving guilt requires zealous representation by lawyers like Ron Sullivan. I, too, have consulted with Harvey Weinstein's defense team and have been criticized for doing so. I will continue to consult with and represent accused criminals as well as victims of all crimes. Finally, the decision reflects a sense that the truth, with a capital T, is knowable simply based on identity politics. That is, who is the accuser and who is the accused? Men and women both tell the truth and lie. There is no gender-linked gene for truth-telling.
Oh, wow.
That's a brilliant piece of writing. So what is Harvard's reaction? They're not going to turn their decision upside down, right?
Now is the time for Harvard itself to be subjected to a process of review and academic oversight by an institution such as the Association of University Professors that should review Harvard's decision and determine whether it violated the academic freedom and due process not only of Ron Sullivan and his wife Stephanie Robinson, but of the students who are being denied the leadership and mentoring of these fine deans. We're Harvard, a public university This benighted decision would be subjected to a constitutional challenge. It still may be subject to challenge under Massachusetts law. In any event, it is subject to challenge in the court of public opinion by students, faculty, administrators, and alumni who disagree with Harvard's decision. The firing of Dean Sullivan may be the most severe violation of academic freedom I have witnessed in my 55 years at Harvard. It cannot be allowed to stand. But here, we've talked about this on the show before. What does the mystery erase? Or what does the mystery fundamentally change?
Truth.
Yeah.
The mystery fundamentally changes truth.
Before you move on, give me the name and the article so I can link it to the GL page.
Well, it's Alan Dershowitz's piece, that an opinion piece he wrote for Fox News.
Thank you.
Dershowitz, D-E-R-S-H-O-W-I-T-Z, A-L-A-N, Alan Dershowitz.
Got it.
The truth, according to the mystery, can be knowable simply based on who you are.
Just the motto
That's
of Harvard.
Truth. That's
Harvard's
truth.
Motto in English is truth.
Is it really?
I just looked it up.
Was it Veritas or what?
Yeah, Veritas. They got a nice endowment, $38.3 billion.
But they're worthless. It's worthless.
Well,
I'm not hiring any attorney that would come out of the Harvard Law School if they were among the people who demanded the firing of Sullivan.
Right.
It's worthless. These academies are becoming worthless.
And what I can't understand is why they caved to these students. Are they afraid they're going to transfer? What was their fear?
Because even in the administration, apparently, you have Mysterians who are embracing the idea that truth is knowable simply because of who you are. And in this case, they have chosen the women who have accused Weinstein instead of letting the due process take out.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't that a fine how do you do? Oof,
how do
that's,
you do?
That's alarming.
You know what makes me want to do? Take a trip on it. Well, that too. It makes me want to take a trip on an eco bike. I call them eco bikes.
To calm everything down.
But I'm thinking of EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. I'm talking about electric assist bikes, Bintelli e-bikes. Rook, you rode one at Grunhofer's. EcoFun, right downtown Forest Lake. They specialize in affordable scooters, mopeds, youth ATVs, electric bikes, youth snowmobiles, and ATVs. Full line of Yamaha motorcycles. They sell generators, batteries, whatever you need. But electric bicycles are a big seller, and they're growing in popularity. 5 assist levels. You put it on number 1, you're doing about 80% of the work. You put it all the way up to 5, you're wailing along there free as a wind.
It was such ease, and I was afraid of falling on the big-wheeled bike, so you have to be a pro if you're going to get the big-wheeled bike.
Right.
But the normal-sized bike
you
is...
You mean fat-tire bike.
Fat-tire bike.
Well, go see them for yourself. I really urge you to go to EcoFun. There's no store in Minnesota where you're going to walk in and see the on-floor display of electric bikes that compares to what you will see at EcoFun. Right downtown Forest Lake, they're practically on the lake. EcoFunMotorsports.com.
Okay, full disclosure time here, GLers. It's Kenny here, and I want to talk about my buddies at DKMags.com. And the disclosure is, it was a CI girl, actually, that alerted me to DKMags.com a few years ago. She works here, and she was shopping around for her very first firearm. She checked out the places I advised, and it turns out she found DK Mags, and it was the only place she went to that didn't give her attitude and treat her like less of a human because she was a female. And you know what? It just so happens that's what I had been searching for a long, long time in this town. A firearm shop that treats everyone who walks in the door with respect. That means if your son or daughter wants to get involved in the sport, maybe clay pigeons, whatever, but you haven't a clue, fine. Get a hold of DKMags.com. They're going to be happy to help you out. If you've been firing firearms for the last 60 years and you know everything there is to know, DK Mags is the place for you. It's the only gun shop in town that I shop at. Log on, stop into it, you'll see why. DKMags.com.
You cannot stop him. He'll just make a move. Joe Sugere.
You know, the truth being in play now, it shouldn't be. The truth is the truth. It can't be just bounced around for various causes. But are we seeing a little bit of that in the continuing refusal of the Minneapolis Park Boards to erase the name Calhoun from the lake and the roads around it now, despite the court ruling from the Court of Appeals that reversed the naming of Lake Calhoun to Bede-Makaska, the Minneapolis Park and Rec Board is moving to scrub the Calhoun name from surrounding parkways and parkland.
This is such a waste.
A park board committee on Wednesday will vote on whether to rename four roads that bear the surname of John C. Calhoun, comma, a staunch supporter of slavery, comma. Aren't they willfully choosing to ignore the rule of law based on what they believe to be their version of the truth?
Absolutely. Yep. Yes.
And the truth is the identity of Calhoun is wrong because of slavery, so therefore we don't accept the finding?
Right. Right. He has to disappear.
B as in B, S as in S. They're so hung up on the fact that this guy had slaves. Everybody on the East Coast had slaves.
Yeah.
We don't today.
We never did in Minnesota, do we?
No. They'll also vote on bestowing the Dakota name on what's now Lake Calhoun Park, the public land and surrounding the lake. The renaming effort by the Park Board rebuffs last month's decision by the State Court of Appeals, which ruled that the State Department of Natural Resources commissioner exceeded his authority when he changed the lake's name last year. And all the court said was, the court didn't weigh in on whether it should be Calhoun or Bede-Makaska. The court said the DNR commissioner does not have this within his rubric to do this.
Right. Yeah, all they were saying is you did it wrong.
You need a law. You need to either write a new law or amend the current law to say that DNR commissioners get to rename stuff.
Follow procedure. My question is, with this, the parkways being renamed, that shouldn't be a hassle, right? Isn't that just a matter of city council vote and it's done? Because there's no DNR, there's no federal, there's no state. They can just do it, can't they?
Well, they want to change West Calhoun Boulevard to West Bede-Makaska Boulevard, Calhoun Drive to Bede-Makaska Drive, East Lake Calhoun Parkway to East Bede-Makaska Parkway, and West Lake Calhoun Parkway to West Bede-Makaska Parkway. And they're doing this because they say it's the right thing to do.
Well, talk to your residents. And
think of how many people it doesn't affect. It doesn't affect. This handful of people, they're letting that affect them, but for the people that are going around the lake, they don't care.
Listen to this BS. John C. Calhoun, who served as vice president under John Quincy Adams and Andrew Jackson, was a southern plantation owner who strongly advocated for slavery and the removal of American Indian people from their lands in the 1820s. John C. Calhoun was not a nice guy. He definitely was not a nice guy to people who looked like me, said French. Who's French? I'll get it for you.
Is he using the Mayor Fry line?
Interesting what you mentioned there about Calhoun. He hated both. He wanted slaves, and he wanted the removal of the Native Americans.
This is Park Board Commissioner Londell French. John C. Calhoun was not a nice guy. I just don't think that protecting his legacy is what the Park Board should be doing. And again, the fundamental mistake they're making is to ignore the truth of why it was named Calhoun in the first place. I'm getting tired of this topic. Unfortunately, you're going to just find more and more and more of this as you head into the deeper into this century, because their task now to sanitize can never end. But the lake wasn't named for Calhoun because he was a proponent of slavery. The lake was named for Calhoun by a bunch of brown noses surveyors out here who said, let's throw the bone a boss back home and say, hey, boss, we named a lake for you. Calhoun.
I think you said that wrong.
Let's throw the boss a bone.
There you go.
What did I say?
The bone a boss.
What we usually say here.
Let's throw the boss a bone. Throw the bone a boss?
Yeah.
Whoa. As a former traffic hack, I have to admit, I would like putting in my report a couple of times a day, the eastbound Bede.
Yeah.
I love the way that rolls off the tongue. Eastbound Bede, westbound Bede. That sounds good.
So the DNR will appeal the Court of Appeals, but that doesn't mean that the Park Board's going to wait. They say that we're going to get on this because we know better than you. We know what the truth is, and we're terribly, terribly virtuous people, and we're out to atone for our past sins.
I would just hope, and I know I've beaten this drum and I've hit right into the ground, but these people that want to change the name of Calhoun should do their research, because you're going to find a lot of guys, a lot of historical figures from the North that hated Native Americans, and they made it their life's goal to get rid of Native Americans. And you're not talking about those crackers at all.
Well, this... Why don't we just admit
admit to our faults.
Well, not only
move
that,
forward.
Why don't we just admit that none of us can understand even that thinking?
Right,
it's beyond my comprehension.
Right. It was a completely different world.
I'm no example of virtue, but it's beyond my comprehension to hate people with such a passion that I'd want to move or exterminate it or something.
Why not use it as an educational tool?
Well, that's because that's too smart. That's too full of common sense. That isn't what we do. That isn't what we do, John Height. That isn't what we do. Does Johnny got a newscast today?
Yes.
Nah.
Oh, I would. Yeah.
My question is, does Johnny have a guitar today?
I do have a guitar.
Yes, he does.
Several things I may pull it out.
You weren't kidding, by the way. That thing never goes out of tune.
Oh,
when you were
does.
Playing yeah. it yesterday, it was just as if you were still at Grundhoppers on Friday.
Well, this is a different guitar.
I thought it was the same one.
That he just tuned up.
No.
That he just tuned up.
That's the same one.
No, this is a different one.
It's different, Mr. Scanbucket.
It's a nice guitar. We'll be back in just a moment.
Same one. Definitely the same one.
Say, how's that scruffy front yard looking? Sad, pathetic, embarrassing, all of the above, and about to be covered in dandelions? This doesn't have to be like this. Let's make it end right now. A beautiful lawn, the best on the block, a click away. ProfessionalTurf.com. Do what I did so many years ago. Schedule a free, no-obligation lawn care estimate. A seasoned ProTurf Pro. They're going to stop by and set up a weed and fertilizer program that's not only safe for our mother, the earth, but guaranteed to give you the most luscious lawn in the neighborhood. Click on it right now. ProfessionalTurf.com.
You'll learn more here by accident than elsewhere by design. Here's Joe Souchere.
And John Heights News, sponsored by ProfessionalTurf.com. We thank them.
Thank you, Kenny. Some breaking news. That Minneapolis man accused of throwing a five-year-old... I still say breaking news, even though we're doing a
podcast. That's all right.
It's kind of tough to have breaking news on the old pod.
It really is. The man accused of throwing that five-year-old boy from a third-floor balcony at Mall of America last month has pleaded guilty to attempted premeditated first-degree murder. 24-year-old Emmanuel Arondo entered his plea Tuesday morning in Hennepin County Court, admitting he knew throwing the child over a third-floor balcony could kill him. Family spokesperson has said the boy is now out of critical condition and is alert and conscious. Family says they hope he'll be able to come back home by June.
Oh, man.
Miranda agreed to a plea deal containing a sentence of 228 months, which is 19 years. As part of the deal, prosecutors agreed not to pursue an aggravated circumstances component to the charge that could have meant an additional year in prison for Miranda. Last week, the Hennepin County Attorney's Office said prosecutors would seek the maximum sentence, but Tuesday, senior assistant county attorney said the family of the boy fully supports the plea. Budget negotiations between Governor Tim Walz and State House and Senate leaders continued Monday night with less than a week to go to overcome differences. Lawmakers have until May 20th to strike a deal during the regular legislative session. Governor Walz and House leaders working together did offer to reduce the proposed gas tax increase by 4 cents from 20 to 16
cents.
That's
his big concession.
That was the concession yesterday.
What an insult.
And GOP leaders proposed using $43 million from the budget reserve to pay for broadband and deputy registrar reimbursement funding. Republican Senate Majority Leader Paul Gazelka told Tom Hauser, the KSTP reporter from downstairs, that they're, quote, still worlds apart from Democrats on budget numbers as of Monday evening.
I love that the Republican side of the aisle is standing strong and just saying no.
But he keeps saying we need to work together. Tim,
right.
Nobody wants this. You right. need to get over it.
Right.
At the direction of National Security Advisor John Bolton, Acting Defense Secretary Patrick Shanahan last week presented top White House national security officials with a plan that would send up to 120,000 troops to the Middle East in the event that Iran would attack any American forces or accelerate work on nuclear weapons. The plan was reportedly presented during a meeting about the Trump administration's broader Iran policy attended by, among others, Bolton, CIA Director Gina Haspel, Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman General Joseph Dunford, and Director of National Intelligence Dan Coats. It's unclear if President Trump has been briefed on the details of the plan, which did not call for a land invasion of Iran, but requested a similar number of troops involved in the U.S. 2003 invasion of Iraq.
At least 4 people killed, 10 others hospitalized after 2 aircraft collided in midair over Alaska on Monday, according to the U.S. Coast Guard.
Think of the space there.
Yeah,
I'm serious. Think of the odds.
Float planes, though, right?
Yeah.
And they were returning passengers to a ship?
Yep, cruise ship, yep. The deadly collision took place Monday afternoon in Coon Cove, Alaska, according to the FAA. A de Havilland DHC-2 Beaver with 5 people on board and a de Havilland Otter DH-3 carrying 11 people crashed in midair under unknown circumstances. 10 people with injuries from the incident taken to the Peace Health Ketchikan.
You mean people lived?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 10. 4 killed, 10 left.
Well, they must have been 10 feet above the lake then.
The planes were on sightseeing tours carrying guests from the Royal Princess cruise ship. It's on a 7-day voyage. It departed Vancouver May 11th.
How could anybody reporting is it what it used to be? How can they have lived?
In this modern day, though, it's so shocking that even though they're float planes, they're still all connected on the same channel.
And you're right. Yeah. I have yet to see a description of their flight path. I'd like to see just how that went
down. I got the greatest reporting is in what it used to be coming up later in the show.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of them. So
that really is. But this one's egregious. Egregious.
Egregious.
Egregious.
I say. That's a great word.
Egregious. I say.
You guys know who's free? You want a hint?
Yeah.
I'd love to be an Oscar Mayer wiener.
And that is
is what I truly love to be. If I were an Oscar Mayer,
I thought you were going to sing.
What the hell are you talking? It was free.
Then you would something, something with me.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Who's free?
Yeah.
Anthony Weiner.
Oh.
The newsman shoots and scores. The newsman shoots and scores.
I almost thought one of you guys would jump on that before I even got into the house.
Was he the I was hiking the Appalachian Trail
no,
guy?
No,
that's the South Carolina guy.
He's much worse than hiking the Appalachian Trail.
He was the I'm sending the gals in my swimsuit.
He was sexting photos.
Well, and it was a 15-year-old at the end.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I forgot about that one.
And his wife was Huma?
Yeah, the
Hillary's gal.
Yeah,
Hillary's
personal assistant.
Quite a crowd they got out there on your East Coast.
Yeah.
Former Rep. Anthony Weiner left a New York City halfway house Tuesday morning after finishing up his prison sentence for illicit online contact with a 15-year-old girl. He said, "It's good to be out. I hope to be able to live a life of integrity and service."
Why should we believe that's possible?
How much time? What do you think? Until he's picked up again.
The 54-year-old Weiner was ordered in April to register as a sex offender as he neared the end of a 21-month prison sentence. The judge designated Weiner a level 1 offender under the state's version of what's known as Megan's Law, meaning he's thought to have a low risk of reoffending. Weiner was a once rising star in the Democratic Party, served Congress 12 years. He had been living in the halfway house since February after serving most of his sentence at a prison in Massachusetts. He still faces 3 years of court supervision. Prosecutors said Weiner had a series of sexually explicit Skype and Snapchat exchanges with a North Carolina high school student and encouraged the teen to strip naked and touch herself sexually.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And you're just reading, What book are you reading?
I got to have time to read.
Right. I was thinking, where does he get the time and
that's
energy?
What I'm saying. Where do you get the
it's
extra
like, geez,
time?
I'm trying to figure out how to make a window for
seriously,
my barn.
I've always wondered that about these types of crimes. Where do you get the time?
Yes.
Yeah. It's like, I've got
get a
so
hobby.
Much.
I guess that was the hobby.
Snapchat. Or what is it?
Go wax your car.
I got something. 5 million things going through my brain right now. That's not one
me
of them.
Me neither.
Yeah. You want one?
No. A brain?
No, I'm in a picture.
He just wants to wax his car.
Speaking of brains, if you want to save your brain, focus on keeping the rest of your body well with exercise and healthy habits rather than popping vitamin pills. These are new guidelines for preventing dementia.
My uncle was a great doctor, and he said Americans have the most expensive urine in the country.
About 50 million people.
Did he buy a lot?
No. Yeah,
just saying you're wasting bulk.
Said you're wasting your time.
You're buying Sam's Club.
You're just wasting your time.
What do you got there? Urine?
Yep.
Really, my grandpa was convinced vitamin C is what allowed him to live to 99 years old. Huh. That's what he says.
Well, get out in the sun once in a while.
Fish oil. You need to have fish oil. Yeah, Johnny, you're a fish oil.
I take a lot of
go
fish oil.
Salmon.
I love salmon.
Me too.
About 50 million people currently have dementia and Alzheimer's disease is the most common type. Each year brings 10 million new cases, according to the World Health Organization. The age is the top risk factor, but according to this study, dementia is not a natural or inevitable consequence of aging. Many health conditions and behaviors affect the odds of developing it, and the new research suggests a third of the cases are preventable. That's according to Maria Carrillo.
I have a mind question, and yes. I'm asking it seriously.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Have any of you ever been driving along, it's a serious question, and momentarily not known where you were?
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, you did it Friday. Forgot where I was going, for real.
I'll take it a step further. Missed an exit.
No, but I mean, you literally didn't know where you were, even though you knew where you were.
Yeah.
Yeah. That happened to me about 40 years ago.
40
years ago? How long did it last?
It seemed like it lasted a minute or two.
Oh, so it's not frequent.
Well, it hasn't happened to me in 40 years.
Oh. So just the one time?
The one time, but it was eerie. It was eerie. I kept going, what?
Wow.
Couldn't think of where I was.
I've never taken it to that level.
But then I got back to knew where I am.
There you go. And where are you now?
I don't know. So if it happens frequently, I'm in trouble?
I would think frequently would not be fun. I'm going on 40 years. I'm pretty good now.
Okay, so I'll redefine it. I do this trip up 94 to Douglas County all the time. And there are frequent times when I'm driving back. And I'll around, say, before Monticello.
Yeah.
I'll realize that I don't remember anything of the last 90 minutes.
Because, that's not the same. You've just been thinking of something else.
Yeah.
You're just other thoughts. Daydreaming.
How the hell did I get here already?
Yeah, well.
How am I already in Monticello?
Yeah. You got some problems. I think that's a problem.
I think you need to see a shrink.
Yeah. Well, another one?
Yeah, another one.
Again?
Change.
This is a very, I don't know if you guys caught this story. Three Germans killed with crossbows.
I did.
In a series of five deaths, shared a passion for medieval folklore and weaponry. And according to local media, autopsy suggesting it's a murder-suicide pact.
I had a question when I read that story.
Yeah, I have the same question.
How'd they all meet up, or was it that one?
No, it wasn't that one.
Oh.
I was wondering how the last person ended up.
Yeah, that's my question.
Oh, there you go. That's an even better question.
Unless it's a 1-2-3-go thing.
Police investigating.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think so.
Wow.
Police investigating the initial triple.
But what if you're the guy that says, I'm out?
Right.
That's real trust.
That'd be me.
Police investigating the initial triple death mystery said they found the last wills of two of the victims in a hotel room. No signs of a struggle or any involvement by other people. Germany has been baffled by the weird case since the trio of corpses was found Saturday in a hotel in the Bavarian town of Passau, followed by Monday's discovery of two dead women across the country in the town of Whittington. Mass Circulation Bild, the Daily, reported that the victims had shared a fascination with the Middle Ages. One person was 53, one 33, killed with crossbow shots to their heads and hearts.
Jeez.
The other woman died of a single crossbow arrow in her neck.
It's so not an arrow, John. It's a bolt.
A bolt?
Yeah, that's what they call them.
You going to Mud Lake this summer?
Mud Lake?
Yeah.
I'm not this year, I don't think.
But you've been to Mud Lake.
I've been to.
Do they use Aquasay?
Are you talking about Dead Lake?
Dead Lake.
Dead Lake.
Did I say mud?
Dead Lake over by Perm, sure.
That's almost a bad lake name, Dead Lake.
Dead Lake.
But I bet they use Aquaside because you went to a little mom-pop resort with a perfect swimming beach.
Yep.
Aquaside have been keeping places like that in your home free of lake weeds for more than 60 years. And if you own a home, you know you're always checking the weather forecast. Did you see this weekend? Into the 80s.
Very nice.
Into the 80s.
Very nice.
Don't let weeds overtake your lake or pond. Call Aquaside today. They'll mail you the product you need. They'll help you. They'll identify the weed problem and make sure your place looks great all summer long. That way the kids aren't bugging the hell out of you. And it's safe. This is what I like about it. They're registered with both the EPA and DNR, and their products are completely safe for your family. Aqua Clear pellets are another great option to strip the dead weeds from the area. Aqua Clear pellets will get the muck out, no permit required. Call Aquaside today at 1-800-328-9350. That's 1-800-328-9350. Or go to aquaside.com.
An Australian family experienced a stroke of good fortune when they found a gold nugget valued at tens of thousands of dollars while they were walking their dog on Sunday.
No.
The family's father and two daughters, who asked to remain anonymous, were out with their dog, coincidentally named Lucky, when they came across the pricey nugget.
Did it have all four legs?
The father.
What is that old joke about the
something?
Dog had three legs, was walking sideways. He had one ear, and the nose was all gnarled up. And they said, "What's the dog's name?" They said, "Lucky."
Yeah, I've always seen it as the lost dog poster.
Right,
missing leg, missing eye, blah blah blah. Name Lucky. According to the father, I actually walked right past it, but my daughter pretty much kicked it as she was walking. Father said they weighed the nugget at a nearby supermarket, and they couldn't find anywhere to properly weigh it. The gold nugget weighed 20 ounces, or 1.25 pounds, a value the family said could be worth upwards to 24 grand. Sell it as a nugget whole, it's probably worth a little more than that, according to the father. We've come on some tough times, so it's really good because we've been struggling financially. It couldn't be better timing, really. I thought to myself when I was reading this, because I'm always looking for songs, you know. It's hard to come up with songs. There's a lot of gold songs, but they all have bands.
Yeah.
Heart of gold.
Yes. Thank you, Kenny.
I should have brought my bass in. I actually know that song.
That's the only I come up with, but that's got nothing to do with real gold. I
mean, searching for a heart of gold.
No, but it's a good song.
But then on my way to work, I had a revelation as I was listening to the radio.
Yeah.
Remember the old Rufus Thomas song? No. Walking the dog.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Walking the dog. Walking the dog. If you want me to show you, teach you how to walk the dog.
What about Iggy Pop? I want to be your dog.
I want to be your dog. Yeah, that'd be here.
Nothing to do with gold.
See, it's just the dog was
okay,
walking.
Was on a walk. We have to back up one story. Such, I went to, and I Googled crossbow bolt and just by coincidence found a toothpick shooting tiny crossbow.
What? Really?
You put your toothpick on this little thing. It fits in your hand.
Oh.
You can shoot that SOB.
That would just cause havoc in the workplace.
How fun would that be?
Jeez.
$15 you can order that thing on the internet.
You could put an eye out.
I know. That's right. Why I like it.
See, when we return, I'm going to give you the best ever reporting isn't what it used to be.
Have you noticed the consolidation happening to commercial insurance agencies today? This is Patrick Ricey for the Canopy Group. The big just keep getting bigger, and you and your business continue to get passed around until you become a dreaded house account. You have been consolidated. All of this was done to you without your control. Get options and take control of your company's insurance program. Have the Canopy Group help you gain a commercial insurance strategy that makes your business more attractive to the insurance industry. The more insurance companies that we can get interested in your business, the more competitive your pricing will be. If your business is renewing in March, April, or May and is paying less than $80,000 in premium, don't accept being a house account. Get the attention you deserve with the Canopy Group. Visit thecanopygroup.com or call 800-967-3389. 800-967-3389. The Canopy Group.
The Earth is not your mother. The Joe Soucheray Show.
Under the heading of reporting isn't what it used to be. A mother has been arrested after a young child called 911 to report that he and six other kids have been left alone in a hot car. Mm. The call came to dispatchers in Charles County, Maryland, around 1 p.m. last Friday, the sheriff's office said in a press release. I also read the press release to seek what was missing. It wasn't in there either. The child didn't know where they were, but the operator was able to pinpoint the location of the vehicle in the St. Charles Town Center, according to the sheriff's office. Officers found seven children between the ages of 2 and 4 in the vehicle with the windows rolled up and the car not running. Shortly after the children were removed from the car and treated at the scene, the driver arrived. According to the sheriff's office, the unnamed 37-year-old woman had been shopping inside the mall for at least 20 minutes. It is against the law to leave a child under the age of 8 unattended inside a motor vehicle if the caregiver is out of sight of the child unless a reliable person at least 13 years old remains with the child, the sheriff's office said. The woman is the mother of two of the children and was babysitting the others, according to the sheriff's office. She was arrested and charged with confinement of children inside a motor vehicle but may face additional charges. The penalty for leaving children unattended is as much as $500 in fines, 30 days in jail, or both, according to Maryland state law. And then the rest of the story goes on to tell us how cars can transform themselves into ovens when direct sunlight begins to heat that plastic and whatever else is the interior of the car. And that's the end of the story. What's missing?
I can't think of anything.
I know.
Oh, you guys know.
What was the temperature that day?
Was that
in there?
That's also... Well, there's, you know what? There's many. Let's
yep, there we go. Brooke, let's start a list.
Start a list, Brooke. Let's start a list.
Okay. Might not be apropos, but why can't these kids open a door?
The name of the subject that was arrested.
No, that
I don't care.
How about how were the other kids related to the woman?
No, he covered that.
No.
Oh, he did? I missed it.
Two of her children, the rest she was babysitting.
None of them older than four. So we don't know we don't know the temperature outside.
Temperature, yeah.
B, we don't know. Presumably, we'll have to assume the doors were locked. Okay. All right. But we don't know that.
Which I always thought you could open from the inside anyway.
That's right. No. What's the obvious one? I told you before. I told you during the break.
You don't get this, you're going to prison.
Right.
I don't want to go to prison.
What kind of car?
Okay, they called 911. Does it have to do with the 911 call? The child had a cell phone. One of the kids had a cell phone and called 911.
Well, I'll just fill in the blanks.
Oh, this was a fun game.
We're all going to prison.
They're age 2 to 4. A, did the woman intentionally leave a cell phone with them? And if so, did she anticipate that the children would have been able to use it? I know little kids are getting pretty good with technology, but do you think a 4-year-old can call 911?
Yes.
Okay.
Mine could.
But there's no mention in here of how they had a phone, why they had a phone, who used it, why they were prescient enough to use it. This is all a positive story, by the way. No one got hurt.
Right. Well, and here's why I say yes. I've actually shown my kids how to use it in case something were to happen to either me or my wife. Huh. I've shown my kids how to call 911 on my cell phone.
Well, then maybe this woman did that with one of the 4-year-olds.
And I think that's commonplace now with people with young kids.
Okay.
Yeah, but then
I don't know the temperature. I don't know if they were locked in the car. I don't know why they had a phone. If she is that inattentive, wouldn't you think she would be sure to keep her phone with her? Or maybe she's so inattentive she accidentally left the phone in the car.
I would guess she strategically did leave the phone with the kids.
Okay. Well, you're really, really coming out in strong defense of the woman.
No, not at all. I think she's an idiot for leaving 7 kids in a car by themselves. And she's the one that should go to prison, not us.
Or does the current Bluetooth technology, can you press some buttons on a dashboard and not even need a car?
I don't know.
Can you?
I
don't know.
I think so.
Yeah,
in this room, you probably currently have the newest car.
Well, what about OnStar?
Yeah, if it's a Chevrolet,
then they would have an OnStar.
Well, then that's not explained by the reporting, isn't what it used to be.
We don't know what kind of car.
We don't know anything.
Nope. It's a bad reporter.
Except 7 kids got saved because one of them could call 911.
That's key to the story, too. Was it intentionally left?
Yeah, my question is, were they really in peril? Were they just messing around?
It was
testing.
I found a temperature.
So it was probably hotter than
80
in
the windows
than
up. They were in peril.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
And the other thought I had, because I thought about this when we had that horrible story out of St. Paul a couple of days ago. A 4-year-old, at least mine, a lot of those kids know how to get themselves out of their car seat. And I'm not in any way trying to say that this kid, who knows? But that's the first thing I thought. Why didn't some of these kids just open the door like Kenny said?
I don't know. I've equipped my women of folk with these blades to cut the straps on the baby seat.
I don't know, though.
My fear is they'll cut the kid in half in their panic.
Stop worrying.
What? Oh, my word. Well, I find things to worry about.
You do.
But the education, everybody, this is instinct. You would know, it's hot. Because when you first open that door to get out, you know it's hot already. Why instinctively you wouldn't say, kids, I got to bring you in here. I can't leave you in the car.
It's getting to the point where there's so much to worry about. That when you're in church, you got to look for a guy with a gun.
Yep.
When you're walking through a parking lot at the shopping center, you got to have a baseball bat so you can break a car window in case some kid's in there. Where's it going to end, Matt?
It's not going to end well unless there's some type of turnaround.
The only place
You know where, if I felt really bad, do you want to know where I'd want to go? I'd want to eat. And I'd want to get something really, really good to eat.
The only time I want heat is at the end of a lighter, and I'm lighting a cigar I got from Sodis out in Stillwater.
I thought you had Grunhoff's.
Sodis, I did, but I changed the heat part.
Bravo, boys.
Got it.
Sodis Cigar and Pipe, the newest cigar store in the area. It's out in Stillwater. You go to the last light on
Osgood
36. Before you cross the river, you take a right on Osgood, and there's Sodis. And these guys, Scott and Luke, have really thought this out. It's a wonderful store because when you go in, you're not going to be inundated in cigar smoke, which I happen to love. But you go in there, you're in a hurry, you're buying some cigars for a fishing trip or a golf outing. You don't want to come out of there smelling all cigar smoky.
Right.
Well, their smoking lounge is separate from the humidor room so that when you enter the smoking lounge with its highest tech ventilation system, you'll never smell the cigar smoke in the store itself. And in the lounge, you'll even have a comfortable environment. This is cigars, pipes, pipe tobacco, all the accessories, lighters, cigar cutters, you name it, ashtrays. And these guys know their stuff. These are quality cigars. We're not talking you're not talking about the gas station cigars. We're not talking the cheroots that you get at Walgreens.
Right.
These are the
real
deal. I never
thought about ashtrays because I'm not a smoker.
Yeah, these are the real deals. Great specials in all brands, including box specials. The ribbon cutting was last week. You can find them also at Sodis, S-O-D-I-E apostrophe S, Sodis Cigar.com. Congratulations, Scott and Luke, on the grand opening of Sodis Cigar and Pipe in Stillwater. South St. Paul.
I know it well. I know the mayor personally.
I do, too. The South St. Paul School Board voted unanimously Monday night. That would be Monday, May 13th, last night, to allow students to wear sashes that represent their identities to South St. Paul Secondary School's graduation ceremony this spring.
I knew you were going to bring this one up today. I knew it.
Students from four affinity groups at the school had lobbied for the right to wear the sashes, also called stoles. The decision represents an about-face for the district. Just 2 weeks ago, Principal Chuck Ochocki had said the district would consider the policy change, but that students wouldn't be allowed to wear them to this year's graduation ceremony, which is set for June 6th. Students from the four groups, the Black Pride Organization, Comunidad de Latinos Unidos, the Women's Society, and the Sexuality and Gender Alliance, a group of LGBT students, were jubilant after Monday night's meeting. "I never thought this would actually happen," said senior Naomi Gaday, a member of the Black Pride Organization. I didn't know one little thing could become this big. The students were guided by Jessica Davis, a math teacher at the school, who was also the 2019 Minnesota Teacher of the Year. "I'm elated, overjoyed, and am especially proud of these students," Davis said. School board member Patty Bjorklund said she was deeply impressed by the students' presentation on why they wanted to wear the sashes. Super Dave Webb said he, too, was proud of the students. "We believe in elevating student voice, and they were great examples of that this year," he said. An anonymous donor has even stepped up to cover the cost of having the sashes made, according to the super, Dave Webb.
So the sashes identify what group they're...
So let's say you're a black kid.
Okay.
This is high school, right? Secondary? That's
yes.
High school?
Yeah.
So you're a black kid. What are you going to wear that... What are you going to wear? You presumably were born in this country. You're an American citizen. You're American. What are you going to wear?
Well, I guess that's what I'm having trouble with, what they're...
And if you're LGBTQMPORFGBOWXYZ, what are you going to wear?
That's easy. I would guess a rainbow.
I guess.
That. But you're right. I ask those same questions to myself.
Okay, but most of the people... that are probably LGBT that have gone to school with these people in a high school setting know that Jimmy likes to dress up like a girl, that Jenny likes to be a guy, do guy stuff, and it's, why do you need to call that out at your graduation ceremony?
The larger point here is, kids usually are off limits on this show.
Yeah.
And my concern is that they're being taught poorly. They're being taught to not embrace their oneness as Americans. They're being taught and encouraged even by the Teacher of the Year to embrace only their personal identities. So but I know this comes up a lot every spring, but, you know, if it was my in GL, the guys are going to wear a sport jacket and a tie, and the gals are going to wear a dress, and you're not going to bring in a crown that you wore, that your grandfather wore in Polynesia.
But we're talking a gown and a sash, you know, graduation.
Yeah, cap and gown.
The uniform.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it should be.
But what does this give these children to take on into life?
I can answer for them, for you.
Okay.
Diversity. This represents diversity.
Okay, but what does it do for the children? I know the teachers and the administrators worship at the altar of diversity, but what does this do for the kids?
Celebrates their diversity, which I have to say is I don't get. My son just graduated high school last year, Roosevelt, South Minneapolis, the most diverse, happy group of kids I've ever seen.
Did they do the sashes?
They all had the same sashes on, and they do not see color, race, language, religion. They just see other kids.
Well, that's 4 years.
Isn't that what they're supposed to see?
I would think so.
Well, but doesn't this serve to then create a distinction?
I think so.
Is it divisive?
It is to me.
Yeah.
Well, and I think also, I don't know this for sure, but my guess would be meddling parents. Jimmy, you need to let people know that you are a rainbow child, that you want everybody to see that you are the black power or whatever.
I still am hung up on what the hell a black kid's
going to
wear.
And I can go back to my kid's graduation last year. There was a couple of kids, one kid in particular, I'm thinking, openly, out of the closet, very gay. And you could tell, as audience members, you could tell, and all the kids loved him.
Yep.
Absolutely loved the kid.
Well, it sounds to me like Roosevelt's doing something right.
Yeah, I thought so. I thought it was an amazing, I thought it was a really good high school.
Teddies.
Yeah.
That'll come under attack one of these days. He had to do something wrong someplace.
Yeah. Oh, sure he was killing beasts over in...
He shot buffalo in North Dakota.
The only issue I have with that school is just stop mentioning Governor Ventura. Yeah, big deal. He went to high school there. Yeah. Move forward.
When it was black and white, there was no color at the school.
Move forward.
I just don't understand. Well, you nailed the answer. The answer is this celebrates diversity, which has been imposed upon them by adults. And rather than let them be just organically united as a bunch of kids, we're going to point out now that
look
at how great we are. Look at all the diversity we've had here.
What drove my wife and I to Roosevelt is because my parents offered to pay for private education for my kid all 12 years. So we went to, and I'm not going to mention the school, but we went to a meeting there, and the whole meeting, you know, convincing parents to bring their kids here and enroll here was about diversity. And they had a brand new diversity director, and there were three people they weren't white, that were in the meeting. And they went on and on and on. And then we went over to public high schools and public elementaries. And it's like, okay, this is diversity in real life playing out right here and now. These kids don't see color, race, religion. They see other kids.
So you visited Hill Murray?
No, it was right across the river, though. The hint is it's very close to the Mississippi. That's the only hint I'll give you.
Either Breck or Minnehaha.
Well, bingo. Bingo.
Sure as hell wasn't Benilde. Well, I'll say this. I've often said this in defense of public education. Mm-hmm. Any kid who goes to a public high school from a caring, concerned home...
Mm-hmm.
Where the parents, preferably two, a mother and father, sometimes it's just one, but that still can be a caring household. Any kid who goes to a public high school from a home where the parent or parents are deeply involved, asking questions, staying on top of things, can get one hell of an education. I've always said that.
Public high school kids that are like that have a major advantage because they can start to take their college classes for free.
I know many kids who go to public high schools whose parents could buy a private high school, and they're top drawer in their achievements.
Yeah.
because the parents give a bleep.
But that is...
I'm not suggesting, by the way, I'm not tying this to South St. Paul. I'm not suggesting the parents of these children who campaign to wear sashes are not involved parents. I've wandered away in the topic a little dissected here.
Well, when I read that story this morning, I was wondering, what do the rest of the kids feel about this? The kids that are just going to wear, what's their sash color? Gold? Let's just pull out a color.
I guess I'm so old now, I'm confused by the sash thing. We never had a sash.
You have the robe. Thank you. You have the robe. You have this V-shaped sash thing, right, that goes around your neck.
And then if you're an honor student, you have the gold.
Right.
And then do they allow that? Because that certainly would distinguish kids.
I think so.
Yeah,
I think. If you're a crypt, it's blue.
We
red,
wore
it's
a
blood.
Green gown with a hat. Boom.
Yeah, I just remember a hat here. And gown.
Hat Maybe we're and a gown. And you couldn't wait to get the damn thing off.
Exactly.
On the Capitol, the cathedral steps.
So are the kids that don't have a special sash, are they being oppressed and being left out?
You would think so. I don't know. It's just.
Were talking about closing the achievement gap, but that's the state's big concern is we need to close the achievement gap. That starts at home.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many examples of these kids that from day one are behind the eight ball because nobody at home gives a damn.
Well, I'm going to get heavy now.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to do that.
And I'll probably get in trouble. But it's just merely an example of postmodernism to say to these, but for the adults to say to these kids, you be who you are, meaning embrace your particular ethnicity. And they're doing that in lieu of driving home the point that isn't it great to be an American? We're all Americans. I think the kids would be better served by being taught or encouraged to just adopt everything American as possible that they can. Everything.
And what I don't get about that is the kids are already being kids, and they all already have their own groups. The jocks hang out together. The punk rockers hang out together. You know what I mean?
Well,
and they all see each other equally. Well, equally. Then, sometimes those groups clash.
But that's what my point is. Why do you need to have a sash to say, I'm with LGBT? We know it already. Let's graduate and go have fun and go.
Well, not only do they know it as kids, they don't care.
But here's the irony. Here's the paradox. These are the same school administrators who encourage collectivism, who encourage sameness, who encourage
tolerance,
fairness and tolerance and everything. And yet when it comes to political identities, they're allowing the kids to adopt and embrace those political identities rather than express themselves as merely a member of this large collective of kids to get graduated.
For me, you just hit it.
Okay.
Political identities. Yeah. That's exactly what this is.
Nothing against these kids, by the way, to our GLers in South St. Paul.
Right.
I'm just saying I don't buy your BS, school administrators.
Yeah, they are. You nailed it. Yeah. They are political identities. Yeah. That's what
but
they are.
We all have kids here, and what's the one thing kids
I don't
kids
anymore.
Need?
I have kids I used to
used
have.
To have.
What did Dill have?
Yeah, they grow up with rules, and that's what you need to abide
Dill's
by.
Dill's been out for, what, 5 years now?
Yeah.
He came out?
No.
Came out of
high
school.
Where was I been the last five?
Yikes. He did.
Oh, right. He went to
But they had a graduation, and he had a gown and a
the
hat.
Whole thing.
Yeah.
And they were all matching gowns.
Yeah. Everybody wore the same thing.
We all had the same thing, too. But, you know, I went to a hillbilly high school.
Right.
And the robes we wore were about 80 years old.
Did you
old.
Have your shades on with the big afro like you did in your football picture?
I don't remember.
One of the strangest pictures I've ever seen.
I love that photo so much.
That's one of my favorites.
Looks like Marty Allen on steroids.
I don't think we were even allowed to keep the caps. I think the caps are recycled.
What? Oh, the caps? The caps went back.
I don't.
You're kidding?
No, I didn't.
They go in the moldy closet underneath the stage.
Gross.
No.
Some other kid wore mixture.
Yeah,
right.
Totally.
I got head lice.
Well,
the same one thing with the band uniforms. Though those were all 80 years old and stunk.
A story I don't understand, but it's filed under the Department of. You can't win. Cleaner water in and around New York and a surge of bait fish are drawing more sea life to the city where sightings of seals, dolphins, whales, and sharks have spiked. But many don't survive the trip. There are also many more marine mammals washing ashore or getting stranded, a reminder that the oceans remain dangerously polluted. Wait a minute.
What? Wait.
You're telling me the water's cleaner? So you got all these marine mammals now visiting.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't make it because the ocean's polluted. What?
The water's too clean.
The water's too clean. Number of beach whales has shot up statewide from 22 in 2009 to 2013 to 41 from 2014 to 2018 data from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration shows. In the city, Breezy Point in Queens, has become the top place for beach whales, with two dead humpbacks being discovered there in 2018. A third whale found last year was hauled off the beach in Jamaica Bay. One whale got stranded in New York this year. A dead 37-foot humpback discovered Sunday in West Hampton. Luckily, healthy whales are also being spotted in larger numbers in New York City's ocean waters. Then who is it that's coming to the beach and not making it back?
Yeah. That's a good question.
Our water's never been cleaner. Therefore, here they come. But a lot of them beach themselves. In the meantime, we're also seeing healthy ones frolicking. Where in the hell am I supposed to be here?
Right, where do our sensibilities lie?
Where do my sensibilities lie? Two children got bit by a shark. Biologists credit the Federal Marine Mammal Protection Act passed in 1972 with help replenish the seal, dolphin, and whale stock, in addition to less sewage being dumped in the New York Harbor. Great. Before the law prohibiting hunting of marine mammals, there were bounties on their heads, said Arthur Koppelman of the Coastal Research and Education Society of Long Island. Koppelman also credited the state's programs to restore menhaden, a fish whose population recovery has been instrumental in attracting more dolphins, seals, whales, and sharks. Mm-hmm. There's about six contradictions in here. You got the cleaner water.
Yep. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's attracting sea life.
Yeah, okay. That's a good sign. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. And you also have a sightings of more and more healthy mm-hmm. sea life.
Frolicking.
But we're having too many dead whales, even though we've restored menhaden, a fish whose population recovery has been instrumental in attracting the dolphins, whales, and sharks.
So
what the hell? Where am I? Where are my sensibilities?
I don't know.
Isn't Lake Mille Lacs now? Aren't they under a little fire because the water's too clean and that's hurting the fish population? I guess what that means is that some necessary plankton and whatever is not available.
Oh. Due to climate change,
I have no idea.
You're staring at it with your mouth open.
Well, that story is. Yeah, it covers everything that possibly could be covered.
Anything.
So is the clean water attracting the bait fish, and then the bait fish is attracting the larger whales, et cetera, and they're what?
Apparently.
And that's what's dying?
Apparently. It's a conundrum wrapped inside a Pandora's box. I have no idea.
And in Mille Lacs, is it the invasive species that are eating others that are keeping things?
You know what we're due for, Rook?
What are we due for?
I don't get it.
Will you line up the lake detective for tomorrow?
Yeah. Yes.
He's probably out on a case, but I'll save. I think it's worth touching base with LD to have him break this story down for us and the Mille Lacs story.
Jeez, I hope he's not stumped, because we certainly were.
He's never been stumped.
Okay.
Make him come in.
LD.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
It'd be my guest. I would love it.
All right, I will do that.
We call him today, huh? See if he's on a case. Yeah. He usually has to check his gun in with the city authorities before he gets in the skiff called Good Luck out and solves the lake problem.
You might need to give me an hour, because I've got 5 million questions for
you. It's not just a personal time for you, Kenny. It's not.
No, it's going to be personal.
Question seven Maybe is, he could, if, my water's a little...
If you don't care about the waters of Douglas County, don't bother listening.
Well, and then maybe he could give you some advice on how to put your deck in. Or your dock in, excuse me.
Don't start.
A little to the left there, Kenny.
Chris.
Please move it over.
Chris, no.
My way of thinking, Kenny.
No. Yeah.
Someday I'll tell you about the dock me and my buddy Johnny DeLong put in. Ooh, did we get in trouble.
Mm-mm-mm.
Seen from the house, looking down at the lake, the dock went south for a while.
Sure.
Then it went north for a while.
Yep.
Then it went south again, caught a little west, then northeast. Walking on it, stone cold sober, was harrowing.
I was going to say, maybe that's how they walked back into the...
That was the old days with the posts that you pound in,
That's
right?
What we did.
Yeah.
Hey, the weather's turning. Weather's turning, bikers. You're really going to have a great weekend coming up all this week. Later this week, into the weekend, warm riding temperatures. You know what's located right here in Minnesota? DennisKirk.com, a trusted retailer of parts, accessories, and apparel for you and your bike. Doesn't make any difference what kind of bike. They have you covered. Huge in-stock selection with more than 160,000 products. Great website. Guaranteed best prices, fast same-day shipping. You want same-day shipping? You order by 8 o'clock today, you'll get what you ordered tomorrow. And if you buy a motorcycle helmet or apparel item and it doesn't fit or you just don't like it, that's not a problem. DennisKirk.com will even pay the return shipping. $89 orders ship free. And as I said, you order by 8 o'clock today and get it tomorrow. Have a lot of fun on that website, DennisKirk.com. Yes, Candy.
I've actually tested the system. They have a countdown clock on their website, and I have waited till the last 2 minutes of that clock.
7:58.
To do it, huh? And it still comes through. It's there the next day and on my bike right away.
Well, you know what I'm talking about. DennisKirk.com.
A beautiful lawn is a super quick click away at ProfessionalTurf.com. From their very first visit for your free, no-obligation estimate to the last of autumn, you will have serious lawn pride. The best on the block. Things are greening up nicely around Gumption County right now. That means one thing, dandelions. Unless you're already a ProfessionalTurf.com customer, then you don't have any dandelions or any other weeds. And all you have to do is click. Click on it right now, ProfessionalTurf.com.
Here's a man who spends hours in hardware stores sifting through the nuts and bolts of life. Joe Soucheray.
One of the great attributes of GLers is that they are basically charitable sorts. They pitch in. If you're in charge of helping your group come up with an auction for charity, a silent auction, you need to get a hold of Big Time Sports Auctions. They provide sports and entertainment memorabilia for silent auctions. Steve Granquist showed me the other day that he even puts certificates of authentication on the backs of, for example, a beautiful color portrait of Joe Mauer. Here's the best part. There's no money out of your pocket. Big Time Sports keeps a portion of the proceeds, and your organization keeps the rest, and they do everything. They'll put the package together, Vikings, Twins, Wild, whatever you want, whatever makes sense. They bring the items to your event and set everything up, including the bid sheets. Then they pick up the unsold items after the event. You won't even know they've been there. You don't have to do anything. Big Time Sports Auctions works with all kinds of groups and events. Let your imagination roam free. Booster clubs, churches, schools, nonprofits, rotary clubs, golf tournaments. They can help you with your next event no matter what the event is. Go to btsauctions.com. That's btsauctions with an s.com. Here's John Haidt in his newsroom.
And it is sponsored by ProfessionalTurf.com.
Thanks, fellas. The Lakes and Parks Alliance of Minneapolis says a delegation is meeting with Governor Tim Walz Tuesday. They want to ask him to instruct the Met Council to hold off on cutting down acres of trees in the Kenilworth corridor until funding for the Southwest Light Rail Line is assured. This even as construction work on the project is getting underway. A group spokesperson said they do not expect to meet with the governor, who is busy with budget negotiations, but they do plan to present the petition to an aide.
They can't see the light rail for the trees.
That proposed line would connect downtown Minneapolis and the southwestern suburbs, would pass through the Kenilworth Corridor, a 1.5-mile strip of land in Minneapolis that currently contains a freight train line and bike and running path. The group has long opposed the project, even filing a lawsuit to try and stop it. The suit, first filed in 2014, alleged the Met Council and the Federal Transit Administration violated state and federal laws, including the National Environmental Protection Act, when it came to the procedures followed in the approval of a portion of the line's route. In February 2018, a federal judge ruled proper procedures were followed, finding for the Met Council, though the group has appealed that decision. Meanwhile, a portion of the trail has been closed so crews can begin taking down 1,300 trees for the project.
But the funding isn't complete, but they've started already.
That's correct, yes.
How does that work?
Yeah, it's expected.
Do you get more money if the project is started?
As the process, yes, continues to grow. So okay. They're actually still waiting for the Federal Transit Administration to provide almost $929 million.
Okay.
And that'll come through a grant that comes from the full funding grant agreement of New Starts.
Well, now, what kind of trees are we talking? Black walnut, red oak?
I do not know. Are we talking
scrub box elder crap trees?
I do not know.
Okay. Hey, Such, did you print off the email that I sent you from Joel from Minneapolis by chance? Talking about the transportation gas tax bill?
Did you see that one?
I thought it was kind of interesting. He says, Chris, send this to the mayor. Have you fellas noticed that when liberals talk about the Minnesota gas tax, there is a consistent, subtle doublespeak? The libs say something along the lines of, we need to improve, our aging bridges and roads. Therefore, we need to raise the gas tax to improve transportation, which I read as code for mass transit. Mm-hmm. I do not think a lot of people pick up on what they're doing. They begin with the statement with which most people agree. We need to improve bridges, blah, blah, blah. However, most people, I just did blah, blah, blah. I didn't mean to do that. However, most people do not pick up on the fact that what they are saying to our face is we need to raise taxes to improve transportation. I never even thought of that. Mm-hmm. But he's absolutely right.
Is this rail line windmilling, Joe?
Mm-hmm.
Remember
yesterday, they're closing these trails for three years to bikers, pedestrians, and bicyclists, mm-hmm. and skateboarders, and everyone else.
And all the people in favor of the light rail are pro-raising your taxes to fund transportation
issues. I would
imagine
so.
Unless it runs through their backyard.
That's windmilling. Right. Yeah, that's windmilling.
Speaking of, the best was, sorry, Johnny, the woman that was interviewed, I think it was the Fox 9 piece. And she straight out of Liberal Lakes. You know, she's got the big goofy hat, and she says, "I'm used to hearing birds," and she goes, "And now I'm going to hear a ding, ding, ding all the time."
Sure, yes, you are, lady. Yes, you are.
Welcome to the city, urban density.
Can I read you a nice email, somewhat along those lines? Yeah. A few thoughts from a CI girl in Duluth. Being a garage logician could be a lonely business, pushing back daily in a state that is largely liberal while maintaining our ideal of common sense and love of country sometimes feels like a singular activity. I find common ground while listening to the podcast and have been a loyal listener for the years before that. I am not the least bit surprised by the growing number of your high-quality sponsors. What you have done is largely create a virtual community. Fine, go ahead and foghorn it, of like-minded people who, like me, are pushing back daily, often by ourselves. We are happy to connect with people who think and act like us, as well as enjoy purchasing high-quality items. And according to your Friday podcast, even find ourselves meeting each other at your recommended vendors. You have now taken a fictional town, added real establishments, and made them a destination for us. Could you have virtually stumbled onto a $1 million idea? The concept of attraction, not promotion, as an advertising component. You've made all of us GLers hungry, and sometimes literally hungry, with your Grundhoffers ads to connect with the GL way of life, and you've done that by attracting businesses that are a good fit for us with your new podcast. Congratulations. Although I live in Duluth, I plan on stopping at Grundhoffer's when I visit family this summer. You can bet that when I am looking for that gift for my GL guy, I'll be going to Moeller's or Sodi's. And I rode an e-bike through the streets of Paris and cannot begin to tell you how much fun that was. Loyal listener, Susie. P.S. I was the owner of the beloved yet slow-witted, food-obsessed golden retriever, Rookie. Yes, named after your Rookie. I wrote several years ago to inform you that Rookie became worth his considerable weight in gold when he woke my whole family up in the middle of the night, I remember this, to escape our home while it was on fire. I miss him dearly as he was put down nearly a year ago today as I write this. Cancer took him, but he was treated like a king his remaining day. Susie Vandersteen, the owner and designer of Kitschy Gammy Design Company in Duluth. Isn't that
cool?
Nice?
Yeah.
A lot of people are going to make that trip this summer, if not sooner, to Grundhoffer's Old Fashioned Meats.
Do you know what exit it is? It's a 14.
I'm going to find it.
14.
I found it before.
There's a big sign that says Hugo.
Go east on 14.
We had a Bratfest Mother's Day night from Grundhoffer's Brats. We had a Bratfest.
Yum.
And the jalapeno was too hot for me. It was that.
Come
it was
on.
So good. No, I had to pass it on to a younger person. Then I tried something a little calmer.
Mr. Minnesota. So you chawed off a little bit. Yeah, I don't like this.
Well, I used
this
a
kid.
Knife and fork. I didn't gnaw on the thing and then hand it to somebody.
You
got 130 different brat flavors. You can find something a little calmer. Chicken, beef brats, chicken brats, steaks cut any way you want, bacon cut any way you want. The Rookie burgers are fantastic. It's Grundhoffer's Old Fashioned Meats just north of Hugo on the east side of Highway 61 or grundhoffersoldfashionedmeats.com.
And if you're a jerky person, try some
They got
some
the jerky.
Oh,
I hear you raving about the jerky
sweet,
all the time.
So
good.
Sweet and heat?
Sweet and heat, turkey and beef, both look great.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep. Montana Governor, we have another person entering the presidential race.
Oh, why not? Jump on in.
Montana Governor Steve Bullock announcing Tuesday he is seeking the Democratic presidential nomination, distinguishing himself among nearly two dozen candidates as the field's only statewide elected official to win a state that President Donald Trump carried in 2016.
I was just going to ask about that.
He's a 53-year-old fella, governor, running as a centrist Democrat who has advanced party values while navigating a Republican legislature and a GOP-leaning electorate.
Huh.
He made his candidacy official in a video that capped months of speculation fueled by his political activity in Iowa, which, of course, hosts the nation's first presidential caucus next February. Plans to address supporters later Tuesday in the state capital.
You worried about the climate? Is he pretty worried about the climate?
He doesn't mention the climate.
Right. No. You have to know my question, right, John? I have one question about this guy. If you don't know him.
Because of the last name?
Yeah. Is it the Bullock?
I don't know. Seth, you're wondering if he's related to...
Yeah, Seth Bullock from Deadwood, who was originally... His family was from Montana, and I'm wondering if it's the same...
Who's Seth Bullock?
I was thinking Sandra.
He was the sheriff.
He was the first sheriff, and then owned a hardware store and was prominent in Deadwood in South Dakota and all that.
Not Sandra.
Rook. Not Sandra.
Not Sandra.
That's
well,
the first one that popped
you could
head.
Throw that in right. too.
Miss Congeniality.
Yes. She's a very charming lady.
I had never considered that.
Married that motorcycle gruff
and that,
guy.
That bus movie she was in that was
Speed.
Really hard to watch. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was played by Timothy Oliphant in Deadwood.
Right.
Seth Bullock was.
Who Eleanor was Oliphant is completely fine. It's on the Garage Logic book page.
That's the book you just read.
Mm-hmm. Author's Corner.
Author's Corner.
Tim Conway, the comedian who was a core member of the Carol Burnett Show troupe and starred in a string of Disney film comedies in the 1970s, died Tuesday morning.
Really?
In Los Angeles. He was 85. A rep for Conway told Variety magazine he died from water on the brain. Mm. He had been having some brain issues the last few years.
How do you get water on your brain?
Yeah, what's that?
I don't know.
None of us do.
You go swimming after eating?
No. Oh. In later years... Conway had success with his Dorf series, comic how-to videos, in which he played a bumbling, diminutive Scandinavian character by standing on his knees.
Was he Mrs. Wiggins?
Yeah.
That's him.
He was Mr. Tudball, technically.
Tudball.
But he'd want to, hey, could you come in here, Mrs. Wiggins, right now? I need to take some paper and I need to sharpen a pencil. She could never figure out how to, you know, hit the button back to him.
He also led.
Who was Mrs. Wiggins? Carol Burnett?
Carol Burnett, yeah. She was the buxom. And,
Mrs. Wiggins.
Yeah.
He lent his versatile voice to a slew of animated productions ranging from SpongeBob SquarePants to Scooby-Doo to the Christian video series Hermie and Friends. He was nominated for 13 Emmys and won 6 over his career. For the Carol Burnett Show, he was nominated 6 times as a supporting performer, winning in 73, 77, and 78. On the Carol Burnett Show, Conway was so side-splittingly hilarious.
$25 a week, so I think if that's agreeable with you, I think you have I'm afraid that you'd have to take more than 150 words a minute there on the shorthand, because I talk so rapidly, that's why you'd have to do that. I'm sorry.
This just this gorgeous job applicant.
Boy, am I sorry. Boy, you see something like that, and it makes you wonder if Father Duffy isn't...
Carol.
No, what these was are, this?
These are
what
outtakes.
Outtakes right there.
That's why.
Oh, it's an outtake.
Okay. I'm going to do an edit.
Oh, you can let that go.
No, just let it go. No, we're all adults
I'm
here.
I'm not doing that.
She would understand.
That actually
God, is that funny?
That's actually good, because the next line of this story talks about how he and Harvey Korman would ad-lib and make each other crack
oh,
up.
Oh, they would kill each
doing
other.
Doing stuff like that, basically. Most famous characters, the old man, of course, that's the little guy who walked all very right. slowly, and Mr. Tudball.
He threw us all for a loop there.
He really did.
Everybody
that was
went,
awesome.
Huh?
Oh, my
right.
God.
Okay, just one,
well,
one more.
Is it an outtake?
No.
It's an outtake.
It's
an outtake.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Yeah. Damn it.
Well, Reavers can bleep it.
Oh, if God. It's bad, he will. If it's not...
Just used to put a little ballerina skirt on that elephant. Go around the circuit and go, like that. Although I thought it was so laughable at the time. There's a rumor going around the circus that dwarf and the elephant were lovers.
Look at Carol Burnett's cracking up.
Look at that. Oh. How does he keep a straight face?
Oh, look at, they're all crushed.
They're all crushed.
None of them can keep it together except
that's
Tim.
Dick Van Dyke.
Well, Corman.
It's Harvey.
Oh.
Elephant squash.
Oh, God.
Oh, they had to shoot the elephant. I don't know whether it's cousin rumor or not, but they're buried together. Big tombstone.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Tim Conway was 85.
We certainly lived in simpler times, didn't we?
Oh, my gosh.
So what was the bit? The bit was she always hit the intercom at the wrong time? Mrs. Higgins?
Yeah, and he would be talking. Could you come in here one more time? I want to talk to you about writing a letter. No, Mr. Tudball, and you please stop pressing the button when I'm trying to talk to you. God, it was just perfect.
Switzerland's first new concept VIP bedroom cinema has opened in Cinema Path in Spreitenbach. But operators say they're not concerned that any inappropriate activity will take place during film screenings. It opened last week. The VIP bedroom area of the cinema complex looks almost like an ordinary bedroom, except it's filled with 11 freshly made double beds.
What movie do you want to go see there?
Suchi, are you down with
this? I'm going to handle it for the second show.
It's a really good bridge-building movie.
Oh. Designed to entice consumers away from Netflix and back to the movie theater, the new concept offers a cozy, home-like movie experience. And to ensure that customers don't fall asleep, the cinema beds are equipped with electronically adjustable headrests, so you can put them up. Customers,
I'd like the bed in the back, please.
To answer,
are you going to show up in your jammies?
No. Nope.
To answer your question, Joe, about the second show,
yeah.
Customers, according to the company, can be assured the beds are freshly made after every film screening with new bedding.
This is the dumbest idea I've ever heard in my life.
And you watch. There will be a line down the block.
Dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Venanzio Di Bacco said the hygiene aspect is very important to us. He also rejected the idea that the hall would be used for, other kinds of activity.
Yeah, do they have rubber sheets?
He said besides...
Oh. It's like those churches in the medieval Europe where the floors catered to the middle and you just hose everything out.
You bring your cow to work or church.
Kenny, you buying that one yet?
No. You know, John, you're reminding me of something. You guys know what I saw on, I think it was Facebook or Twitter the other
day? I want to end this show. It's nice out.
You can buy on Amazon, I think it's around $7,000, you can buy a kit to build a separate tiny house off your own house. It's so like it's your own bedroom.
Oh, like the tiny house.
I want to go watch Garage Logic. They're playing Diversityville today.
It's a mother-in-law house
in Louis Cardinal Stadium.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. Yeah. A mother-in-law house. Yeah.
They aren't really paying any attention to you, Joe, are they?
Fighting Stogies. The Fighting Stogies are playing the Diversityville Wounds today.
Ooh. Who we got on the mound?
They're going to keep score.
Taylor Rogers.
Okay.
Taylor Rogers.
What'd you think of him?
I don't know.
GarageLogic.com. That's our home for all of your podcast needs. You want to see what's on Joe's bookshelf, Author's Corner? Hit the Features button in the drop-down and you'll find it. Also, Greg Holcomb's latest creative creations. They're fantastic. And you can listen to all the podcasts of old. Check them all out online, GarageLogic.com. And again, we love sponsors to this broadcast. And we appreciate all of these sponsors on the podcast. But if you want to be the next one, get in touch with us. Let's talk. Garage Logic podcast version.